So we're going to turn to the Word of God tonight, and I want to read a number of verses, first of all, from Job. Job and chapter 19. Job and chapter 19. Verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Now Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 23, very well known part of the Bible, I'm sure, to you. And we're just going to read the first beautiful verse. It is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now we're going to read two verses from the New Testament. And first of all, in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. And chapter number 1. Luke's Gospel and chapter number 1. And verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. And finally, in John's Gospel, please, John's Gospel and chapter number 20. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And we know that God will bless his word. Very simply this evening, I want to look at four views that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just upon my mind from last night and enjoying them, I trust that they'll be of help to you in the meeting. If you're saved, well, I trust that it will thrill your soul to look again at Christ. And if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is our desire each night that we might direct your attention to him. And that you might see something of him and his beauty. Because really, what you think of Christ is what really matters. At the end of the day, when it comes to the end of life, and we go out into eternity to stand before God, it will be what we have done with God's Son that will matter. It's not how good a life we have lived. If we could get to heaven through our good works, then God would have had no need to send his beloved Son into the world and there to die on a cross for our sins. But that's what happened. And therefore I want us to look at him in four ways. I want us to think, first of all, of how Mary spoke of him. Mary spoke of him as my Saviour. Oh, that's great to be able to say he's my Saviour. And then we're going to see how David spoke of him. David, the great king of the Old Testament, he spoke of him and he said, "He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And then thirdly, I want us to listen to Job. And he was a man who his whole world had crumbled around him. But you know, despite everything around him crumbling, he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." He said, "I have my Redeemer, my Redeemer." And then I want us to see Thomas. And the Lord Jesus now is risen from the dead. And Thomas gets a look at Christ and he says, "He's my Lord. He's my Lord." I wonder what he is to you this evening. Could I ask you kindly? We're not here, we're here to try and help you, but we want to just bring the reality of these things before you and to try and probe you as to where you stand before God. You know, there was a woman once and the preacher was questioning her a bit. We'll not be questioning you on the way out or embarrassing you or anything like that. But, you know, she was a Christian. And the preacher was asking her when she got saved. And she said, "Probe me well, because it's for eternity." She wasn't afraid to be questioned. She knew the importance of him. It's for eternity. You know, I want to tell you tonight, I'm thankful I can agree with all these four people. I can say tonight he's with Mary, he's my Savior. I can say tonight with David, he's my shepherd. I can say with Job, he's my Redeemer. That's who we were singing of. And I can say with Thomas, he's my Lord. You notice the similarity in all of those statements. There's one thing they have in common. They were all able to say, "He's mine." You know, I wonder, can you say, "He's mine"? Because Mary made it personal. Now, this is an amazing chapter because, of course, Mary at this point is carrying the Lord Jesus Christ in her womb. And yet she hasn't seen him yet. And yet she's able to say, "My spirit, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Saviour." How did she know that the one that she couldn't see was her Saviour? Because she believed the word of God. And the word of God tells me of a Saviour. You know, if I had read another verse, we would have learned this. We would have read in 1 Timothy, "God, our Saviour, will have all men to be saved." He's a Saviour God. And not only that, when Jesus was born, the announcement was made to the shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." Isn't it good that the God of heaven is a Saviour God? Isn't it good that he's a Saviour that was born? Isn't it good that we can speak of God, our Saviour? But I tell you, you know, when a person gets saved, they can just with Mary say, "He's my Saviour. He's my Saviour." Can you say that to me? You say, why did Mary need a Saviour? Sure, she was carrying in her womb the very Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin. Why did she need a Saviour? I'll tell you why she needed a Saviour. Just the same reason as I needed a Saviour. She was born into this world a sinner. Mary, yes. She said it herself. My Saviour. And that's why, dear friend, we love the story of Bethlehem so much. It's not just that we might send Christmas cards to one another. That's a lovely thing to do. But it is that we might rejoice that God sent into this world a Saviour. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you know, it's a painful thing to discover that you're a sinner, but I had to discover it. And so will you if you're ever to be saved. Because that's who he is. He's the Saviour of sinners. He doesn't save good living people. No, he saves sinners. He's not a Saviour of religious people. No, he saves sinners. That's why he came, and that's why he was given that name, Jesus. God our Saviour. And we love to think of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour of the world. Oh, I'm thankful that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He could say one day himself, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Are you saved? I tell you, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you'll be able to say with Mary, he's my Saviour. He's my Saviour. And I trust today that for the first time, someone in this meeting, you will turn from your sin. Well, my friend, it's taking you down to judgment and to the wrath of God. But praise God, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 5 tells me this, that I'm saved from the wrath of God. Great thing to be saved and to be rescued. And that's why we preach Jesus Christ every night, because there's only one Saviour. There's not many Saviours, but there's one Saviour. And he can save you from your sins because he was sinless. Don't be proud tonight. Don't think that you're better than anyone else. We're not here to look down on you. My friend, I can say with the Apostle Paul, chief of sinners, that's what he said. Oh yes, but what else did he say? He says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's my Saviour. But you know, I love the words of David, the psalmist, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He wrote those lovely words in Psalm 23. They're sung at weddings, they're sung at funerals. What did the Lord is my shepherd. You know, people sing those and they don't stop to think what that means. You know, it's a lovely thing just in these months where I'm living just at present. It's just lovely to drive through the countryside and see the little lambs and the sheep in the field. But you know, there's something always strikes my as I drive past a field with sheep and lambs. You maybe don't think this is just the way my mind works, but I always look at a field and I think, you know, behind every field of sheep and lambs there's a shepherd. You don't see him very often. But why are those sheep cared for? Why are they looked after? Oh, there's a shepherd. There's a shepherd. I want to tell you tonight, if you're not saved, you need a shepherd. The Bible tells us as sinners we're all like sheep going astray. Now that's true. Sin will take you astray. Sin will take you down roads and paths that are painful. And sin will take you into dangerous situations. But thank God there's a shepherd to bring the sinner back. The hymn says there's a shepherd that died for the sheep. I tell you, that's some shepherd, isn't it? I've never known a shepherd that would give his life for a sheep. Oh, he'll go after it, and he'll try and lift it, and he'll try and care for it. But I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. Why? Because he died for me. You know, the Bible speaks of him as the shepherd in three ways. It speaks of him as the good shepherd, the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. But it tells me that he's also the great shepherd. Why? Because not only did he die, but he was brought forth from the dead again. He's a living shepherd. But I'm thankful he's also the chief shepherd. You say, what does that mean? Peter says he's coming again. That's the wonder of this shepherd. He died for me. I tell you, he rose again for me. He's with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But he's coming for me. He's never going to let me out of his sight. Would you not like to trust the shepherd of the sheep this evening? I tell you, Mary could say, my Saviour. Why? Because he saves. But I want to tell you, he's my shepherd. Why? Because he satisfies. Did you notice the words? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, I want to tell you this evening, as I stand here, I want for nothing. It may be a shock to you. I'm not driving a big fancy car. I don't need anything. I want for nothing. I'm not interested in doing the lottery and winning millions. No. I've got everything because I've got Christ. And I need nothing more. I want for nothing. Oh yes, it doesn't mean that there's no troubles in life. It doesn't mean that my health might deteriorate. and going the way of all the earth like everyone else, because sin brought into this world death. But I tell you, when it comes to the other side, I've got Christ, and that's all that I need. Have you got Christ? Because when you have got Christ, heaven is your fatherland and heaven is your home. And when you've got Christ, you're filled with hope. We've got an anchor of the soul. No matter what comes in life, we've got one. And Psalm 23 says this: yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Who are you trusting when it comes to the valley of the shadow of death? I'm thankful that I'm trusting in a man who went into death and came out the other side. That's the shepherd of the sheep. I'm trusting in one who is the good shepherd who died for the sheep. That's found in Psalm 22. You can read all about his sufferings. The good shepherd. The one who suffered upon the cross for a sinner like me is the one who is with me, I will not want. The one who's coming for me. Oh yes, it's good to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. That's why I give out that hymn, you see. I have a shepherd, one I love so well. You know, we live in a world of followers, social media. It's all about following, isn't it? I don't have any very, very many followers. In fact, I have none as far as I know. But I tell you this, it's not who's following me. It's who I'm following that matters. Cristiano Ronaldo, I read, that footballer, he has something like 2 million followers. But the big thing is he following Christ? That's what it is. To have Christ as your shepherd. And you know, not only do you follow him, but Psalm 23, I love the way it ends. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's heaven. You know, Spurgeon, he was writing about this psalm. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And he says, surely and goodness are the two sheepdogs that come after me. You know, we all need a bit of goodness and mercy. It's only found in God. I tell you, we have a good God. Never ever think of God in any other way than good. Do you know what the scripture says? It says, don't despise the riches and goodness of God that leads to repentance. I tell you, we have a good God. We have a good Savior. You know, you'll never find anyone like Christ. There's many a person in this life will let you down, speaker included. But I tell you, Christ will never fail. Never. And Job found that. We want to think of what Job called him. Everything was crumbling around Job. You think you have problems in your life? Well, let me tell you of this man. He lost his business. He lost his family. He lost his health. He was covered in boils. You say, that's not a man that's going to trust God. I tell you, even his wife told him, she says, Job, I've nothing to do with God. Do you know what Job says? He says, though he will slay me, yet will I trust him. Why? Why did Job have such a trust in God? Here's the answer. He says, I know. You don't miss those words, I know. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. What is Job telling us? He's telling us this, that he believed in resurrection. He believed in one who had power over death. That's my Redeemer. It's a lovely title, isn't it? My Redeemer. You know, the thought of a Redeemer is one who pays the price to free someone from slavery. Do you ever think of yourself as a slave? Do you know the Bible says, he that commits sin is a servant of sin. You know, the very fact that you're not saved tonight, I speak kindly to you, it shows that you're actually in bondage to your own will and your own ideas. Because if you realized how much you needed Christ as a Savior, you'd bow your head in this meeting. You'd trust Jesus Christ. You'd be able to say, he's my Savior. He's my Shepherd. He's my Redeemer. He's paid the price to set me free. Oh, what bondage sin brings us into. Let's be honest about it. We can't stop having sinful thoughts. The bondage of sinful thinking. You think of how sin has people, even in our very town, and in the bondage of addiction. And you know fine well how low that brings a person. I could take you to people not far from here tonight. And they're lying in a house. And they're in the bondage of addiction and drugs and alcohol and gambling. And so many other things that hold somebody in their grip. I tell you, don't play about with sin, because sin will take you farther than you want to go. And I'll tell you how far it will take you. It will take you down to hell and the lake of fire and make a mockery of your life. But all the time, there's one who went to the cross. And he paid the price that he might free you from your sin. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's power. Oh, there's power in the blood. That's the Redeemer. The Redeemer pays the price. And you and I go free. We've nothing to pay. We cannot pay. He paid the debt we could never pay. And you know, if you trust him, he'll clear your debt. You see, he's paid the price. But it's only when you trust him that he'll clear your debt. He'll wipe the slate clean. You'll be a different person. Salvation makes a real change. It has to, because the moment that you trust Christ, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It's new life. And therefore, you're no longer subject to the bondage of the law of sin and death, but you're free through the law that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, the wonder of it, to be in Christ. And to be able to say with Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Do you know that? It's great to know. You know, I meet people and they say, well, I hope. But it's great to be able to say, I know. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. I know I'm forgiven. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Listen, the gospel message that we preach, it lies four square on the truth of resurrection. If Christ be not risen, our preaching is in vain, your faith is in vain, and says Paul, ye are yet in your sins. In other words, if Jesus Christ is not alive tonight, I might as well put this Bible on the back table and get into my car and drive home. Thank God he is alive. And that's why he can save you. Because when you put your trust in Christ as Savior, he's a living Savior. And that's what Thomas had to acknowledge as he saw a sight that he had never seen before. What did Thomas see? Well, he'd seen the Lord Jesus before, but he had never seen this sight. A crucified man standing alive, with nail-pierced hands and feet and a wounded side. And the Savior invited, he said, Thomas, put your finger into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless, but be believing. And what did Thomas say? We never know whether he actually did put his hand into the Saviour's side. But what we do know is this. It is recorded what he said. My Lord and my God. What was he doing? He was ascribing worship to the Lord Jesus Christ as deity, as the one who was verily God, yet become truly human, who died on the cross. And he acknowledged that day, standing before a wounded man, that he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for mine iniquities. Oh, to get a sight of his wounds, would you not look tonight afresh at Christ and acknowledge him as my Lord? My Lord, that's the one who's going to take charge of my life. Let him take over. And he'll take you through life, and he'll take you to heaven. He'll save you from hell. He'll give you joy in your heart. He'll give you satisfaction. He'll give you security. He'll give you everything. Question is, do you want it? Or is the big problem this? I just want to live myself. I want to get to heaven myself. I'm good enough myself. Listen, friend, as long as you only think of myself, you'll never be in heaven. You need to forget about yourself. You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And then tonight you'll be able to say with Mary, he he's my Saviour. You'll be able to say with David, he's my shepherd. You'll be able to say with Job, he's my Redeemer. And you'll be able to say with Thomas, he's my Lord and he's my God. May God bless you and save you tonight for his name's sake.
See you all here in the tent. We do hope you'll come back again. Remember, Wednesday night there's no meeting, and but Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and again on Sunday, and into next week again, and the week after, we continue. We do hope you'll be able to come back just as often as you can. Thank you again. Now I'd like to read in Luke's Gospel, please, in chapter number 8. Luke's Gospel and chapter number 8. I'm going to read at verse number 26. Okay, and verse number 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met them out of the city a certain man, which had demons long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, saying, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept, bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many demons were entered into him. And he besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and he besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Verse 35, Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the demons were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed, he that was possessed of the demons was healed. Then the whole country, whole multitude of the country, the Gadareans round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with a great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the demons were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. And we're sure that God will bless that public reading of the Holy Scriptures. I'd like to interest you in a story of how the Lord Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee to meet one man, and then crossed back across the Sea of Galilee to meet another man. The man on the far side of the Sea of Galilee, he was a man that was living in a cave. He was unable to be controlled by society. They were trying to put shackles on him, and he would break them. He was demented, and he was a man that would cut himself with stones, and nobody could tame him. And there he was at the far side of the Sea of Galilee. He said, why would the Saviour cross the sea for that man? The reason is very simple. It's because he loved him. I want to make it clear tonight, no matter who you are, no matter how far gone you think you are, God loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ has come a great distance. Great distance. If you can tell me how high it is from heaven down to earth, if you can tell me how high it is from heaven down to Bethlehem, if you can tell me how high it is from heaven down to an old rugged cross and to go into the darkness of Calvary for my sins, then I'll know how far he's come for me and for you. But on the other side of the sea, there was another man. And this man was called Jairus. And this man, you know, he was a ruler of the synagogue, a very respectable man. and the Lord crossed the sea for him too. And so there we have a very respectable, honourable man of one of the high positions of society, and another man that was an ostracised by society. And I suppose most of us were somewhere in between. But the point is this: God has come a big distance for us because he loves us. Because he loves us. Both of them end, you know, up on their knees before the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus can hardly get off the boat. And the man who lives in the caves, he's down on his knees before him. Depart from me! He didn't want Christ. He didn't want Christ. You say, well, if he didn't want Christ, why did the Lord Jesus go after him? Because the Lord Jesus likes to go after people who don't want him. That's why. Maybe there's someone here, and in the past you've heard the gospel and you've refused it. But he's still coming after you, you know, because he loves you. Even although you've rejected him, he's never rejected you. And this man says, depart from me, he says. He's almost terrorized by him. And he says something which is quite outstanding. He says to the Lord Jesus, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? Mind you, there's a lot of people in Bristol that didn't know that. A lot of people in Bristol don't know that Jesus is the Son of God Most High. There's a lot of people in Oxfordshire doesn't know that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. That he's the creator of the universe. He's the mighty God. You see, how did this man know these things? This man is possessed by demons. This man's demented by powers beyond his control. And I don't know if you know this. The Bible says, you believe in God, you do well. The demons also believe and tremble. No great thing, you know, just to believe in God. Even the devil does that. Even the demons believe that. And this man, because he was dabbling in that occult and dabbling in witchcraft and dabbling in that demon world, knew who the Lord Jesus was, and he was terrorized by him. I think the devil had told him that the Lord Jesus would punish him. That the Lord Jesus would do something bad to him. I want to tell you today, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the kindest man that's ever been. The most caring individual that's ever walked on planet Earth. The most compassionate man that's ever lived. He really cried, you know. He really wept. And he still went after this man who was against him. You know, he didn't turn back in the boat and say, well, if he doesn't want me, that's it then. I'll not be staying. He still went after him. Well, you say, well, no one else could do anything for him. Everybody else had tried. I'm not sure how hard they tried, to be honest with you. See, on the other side of the sea, there was a woman, you know. She had a bleeding problem. She had a bleeding problem for 12 years. She was hemorrhaging for 12 years. And in those days, there was no NHS. There was no National Health Service. And she says she spent all her money on doctors and no one helped her. And over there on the far side of the sea, there was a woman who didn't trust society and didn't trust the systems in society. And on the far side of the sea was another man who didn't trust anybody. Yet God loved both of them. By the time we get to the end of the story, both of them become Christians. Both of them are lovers of Christ. And here he is. And he's tearing himself in his anger and his frenzy. The Lord Jesus says to him, what's your name? What's your name? This is a strange question to ask someone. Is it really? I was just telling the boys and girls about a man called Zacchaeus today. And the Lord Jesus looked up a tree and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. He didn't say, hey, you up there. He knew his name. And your name's very important. You say, what's your name? I tell you what my name is. I'm a Christian. My identity is tied up with the man that I love. You say, I thought your name was Munro, you're from Scotland. Yeah, sure. I'm Scottish. I'm from a family called Munro. But actually, my true identity is tied up with the fact that I belong to the Lord Jesus. A woman once said to me, Craig, I'm trying to find myself. And I remember saying to her, Senga, until you find Christ, you'll never find yourself. When he asked him what his name was, He was really asking who his true identity was. We've just heard it from Johnny. Thomas, who are you? Thomas, what do you believe now? My Lord and my God. Job, what do you think? I know that my Redeemer lives. Mary, my Saviour. Oh yes, they had a very clear understanding that they belonged to him. My shepherd, given to my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I remember, you know, I was asked to go and meet a lady who was dying. Her daughter had asked me to go and see her mum, and I knew the lady, but I didn't know her that well, and I went into the house, and she says, my mum's dying, okay? Well, a lot of my business is to deal with the dead and the dying, and when I went into the room, as far as I was concerned, she had several weeks to go. How wrong I was. She had one night to go. She said to me, and I'll have to tell you what she said in the Scottish vernacular, she says, son, I'm feared. I'm feared. It just means I'm afraid. And I said to her, Mrs. So-and-so, what are you afraid of? She says, I'm feared to die. I'm afraid to die. And I read to her Psalm 23, where her brother Jonathan read from, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me to lie down in green pastures and so on. I read verses 5 and 6. I read those words, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I said, how do you think the psalmist could say he could walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil? She says, I don't know. I says, well, the answer is, in the first few words of the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And I says, that's that word, the Lord is my, it's that fourth word. I says, once he'd taken him as his shepherd, he knew that he would be looked after even when he went through the portal of death. And he would go to the many mansions in the sky. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I says, you have to take him as your shepherd and make it personal. I prayed. I thought I would have many times to speak to her before she died. I got a phone call. 8 o'clock this morning, my mum slipped awake. It's something she wanted you to know. You better come up. Went up to the house. And the lady said, she had something you were to hear. I said, what was it? She says, you were to know these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I tell you, it made all the difference when I took that funeral. To know that that dear lady, before she had passed out into eternity, had taken the Lord Jesus as her own personal shepherd. I wonder about you. Here's this man, Legion, and he's being asked, who are you? And you know what? Do you know what his answer is? My name is Legion, for we are many. He says a strange name. A legionary would be someone who would have, something like several thousand people under their command. That's right. And it's almost like the word is used to describe the demons that were possessed under that man. This man was demented. And this man was identified with Satan himself. It was just last year, you know. There was 4 people sitting. They were sitting outside Cocaine Anonymous. I went to every one of them to give them a gospel tract. 3 of them refused me. This young man, Robert, he took it. He came to these meetings that we were having. He got rich and saved. Robert told me, he says, Craig, you know why I took your tract off? He says, because none of the rest of them knew it. I was going down to the railways to end my life that afternoon. I was going down to the railway tracks. And he says, I took that tract and I read it. Of a God that loved me, of a God that could emancipate me, deliver me from the bondage of my sin. He says, that's why I came. I want to say to someone here, anybody here, that might feel that the bondage and the terror of sin that's got a hold of us, it could be cocaine, and it could be gambling, and it could be drugs, or it could be guilt, it could be filthy minds, it could be lie telling, it could be an explosive anger, it could be many things. But there's power in the Lord Jesus Christ to release you from. You know, the demons began to speak, and they wanted to be sent into the very pigs. 2,000 pigs. I know I'm sitting on a farmer's ground here. I reckon there's a lot of money in 2,000 pigs. I reckon 2,000 pigs, you know, could sell well. You say, surely that man's life wasn't worth 2,000 pigs. Oh, yes, it was. I want to tell you, my friend, God loves your soul so much that money couldn't buy you. Money couldn't buy you. The Lord Jesus said, how much then is a man better than a sheep? And you know why? Because you see the sheep that are on the field. And we love them. My father-in-law was a sheep farmer. And we used to go around every Easter time and see the lambs, and we love them. But see those sheep that run about the field? They don't have a soul, you know. And they don't have a spirit. They're not conscious of a greater God. When they die, they get buried. But when you die, your soul will go to one of two places, either heaven or hell. You're not a sheep. You're not a pig. You're not a goat. You're a human being. And you're made in the image of God. And this is why it's so serious. And this is why it's so vital. And here this man is, and he's all he's in need. And with one word, God just says, go. Go. And you know what happens next? This man's sitting, clothed. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind. What do you say? It's impossible. That man was living in a cave. That man was taking knives and scratching himself. That man was absolutely demented. That man was possessed. That man was controlled. But that man's now liberated. And that man's now got a clear mind. And that man now is a saviour. That man now has learned that even though he rejected Christ, Christ never rejected him. He had to learn that day that that blessed man was going to a cross to die for his sins at Calvary's cross. And he has the power to change him off if you don't believe him. You see, you don't know how far things have gone. I suspect that none of us have got as far as Legion. And if Legion can be saved, so can you and I. Well, there were some people, you know, and they weren't too happy. The people that owned the pigs and other folk, they'd rather have their pigs than that man saved. And don't be thinking if you come to Christ tonight that everybody will clap you in the back and say, well done. Oh, no, no, no. That won't be happening. You see, you'll be linked to a man that this world has crucified and this world despises. But I will tell you this. He'll clothe you with salvation. He'll give you the Holy Spirit, a new power to live a different kind of life. He'll give you eternal life. He'll give you sins forgiven. You'll never again have to face the guilt of your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise God for that. He'll give you a guarantee of taking you to the place over the many mansions in the sky. I tell you, he's worth having. I want to tell you, I wouldn't miss him. He is everything to me. As a brother Jonathan has said, he's my Lord and my God. He's my Redeemer. Actually, I was about to preach when our brother was preaching on Isaiah. I have redeemed thee, thou art mine. He's mine! One of the hymns says, mine, mine, mine. It's a wonderful thing to be saved in. And to know that our sins are forgiven. There was a man, you know, last year in a tent like this, sitting over there, he got saved. He didn't know, you know, that in a matter of a few weeks' time, the doctor would diagnose him with pancreatic cancer. And with a matter of months, he would be dead. I was there the night he died. He said to me and another brother that was there, he says to me, sing a hymn to me. So we sang to him, what shall wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What shall make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He says, where is that verse? But he didn't know his Bible. But he knew it was a verse in the Bible that said that. We said it's 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And he turns to his mum. He says, mum, I want that preached to my funeral. And I want these two men to preach. Mum, he says, he turned to his son. He says,
You need to get the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that can cleanse you from all sin.
What can I just say from that dying man to you? You need the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that can cleanse you from all sin. No matter how far you've gone, it can save you. And what about the man on the other side? Both are on their knees.
Jairus is there.
What do you say? He's a very respectable man. He's the chief ruler of the synagogue. You have discovered this. It doesn't matter whether you're in high society or whether you're sitting in a prison cell today. God loves you. It doesn't matter who you are. We're all saved the same way. We all need the same Savior. We all get saved on our knees before Christ, repenting our sins and asking the Lord Jesus to save us. And if there's someone here and you think you're too good to be saved, you're far too wrong. If there's someone here you think you're too bad to be saved, you're far too wrong. Because God loved you. My Savior died for all men. I commend him to you. He would like you to be like Thomas and fall at his feet and say, "My Lord, my God." He would like you to say with the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." We'd like to say like Job, "I know that my Redeemer lives." We'd like you to say like Mary of old, "My Savior, God bless you."